Each year on Christmas Eve, we hear the familiar and beloved words of the prophet Isaiah. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. But today we hear the verses from Isaiah which come just before those beautiful words and which speak of our need for the Messiah. The context for today's first reading is the sad history of the northern kingdom of Israel, which separated from the southern kingdom of Judah after the death of King Solomon, and thereby weakened both kingdoms. The territory of the northern kingdom contained the lands of 10 of the 12 tribes, each of which was named for one of Jacob's 12 sons. The northern kingdom was also in closer proximity to the rising hostile power of Assyria and was therefore in greater danger. In the year 733 BC, the Assyrian king Tiglath-Pileser III conquered the northern kingdom of Israel and exiled most of its citizens while bringing in settlers from among his own people. This conquest caused the mixing together of Jews and Gentiles in the former territory of the northern kingdom, especially in Galilee. And that led to the legend of the 10 lost tribes. The richest lands of the northern kingdom were located on the west side of the Sea of Galilee, and those lands were named for the patriarchs Zebulun and Naphtali, whose tribes had once dwelt there. And so the heaviest burden of the Assyrian captivity fell on the region of Galilee, which included the towns of Nazareth and Capernaum. That is the context in which the prophet Isaiah wrote about the coming of the Messiah in the words we heard today. But there will be no gloom for her who was in anguish. In the former time, the Lord brought into contempt the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, but in the latter time, he has made glorious the way of the sea, the land beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Upon those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, a light has shone. Isaiah wrote those words about 700 years before the birth of Christ. But the church has ever seen in Isaiah's prophecy an account of the Lord Jesus as the Messiah, who, though he had to be born in Bethlehem, the city of David, would nonetheless begin his mission in Galilee to bring about a new and universal kingdom as the Son of David. As we sang today in the psalm, King David spoke of the Lord as our light and our salvation, and the Lord Jesus himself is that Savior. That great light which shone in the deep darkness, a darkness that descended not only upon the northern kingdom of Israel, but upon the entire human race, plunging all of us through sin into death and destruction. Human redemption began when the Messiah was born in Bethlehem of Judah. But the public ministry of the Lord Jesus, which led to his atoning death and glorious resurrection, did indeed begin in Galilee, as Isaiah foretold, and as we read in the Gospel today. Our text from chapter 4 of Matthew begins just after the account of the temptation of Jesus in the wilderness, which followed his baptism by John. Then at verse 12 of chapter 4, Matthew writes that Jesus, when he heard that John had been arrested, withdrew into Galilee. And leaving Nazareth, he went and lived in Capernaum by the sea, in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali, so that what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. So the imprisonment of John the Baptist inaugurated the 3 years of the public ministry of the Messiah, and the work of those years began in Galilee, just as Isaiah had foretold, thus confirming that the New Testament is concealed in the Old, and the Old Testament is revealed in the New. St. Matthew tells us that from that time, Jesus began to preach, saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." But the Savior did not simply preach the gospel in Galilee. He also began to summon individual students there, disciples, who were called to accompany him and to learn from him, and who would one day become apostles sent by him to teach in his name. Of these there would be 12, the number of the patriarchs of Israel, and to the 12 in due course would be added Paul, the apostle to the Gentiles. St. Matthew then tells us of the calling by the Lord Jesus of Simon Peter, his brother Andrew, and their friends and colleagues James and John. All four fishermen responded to the call of Christ to become fishers of men, and they began immediately to follow Jesus. Matthew does not tell us how Simon's wife, or the father of James and John, reacted to the immediate departure of these four men from their homes and family businesses. But for the two sets of brothers to go off chasing an itinerant rabbi must have seemed to those who were left behind a strange decision, perhaps even a reckless dereliction of duty. But we also know that the Lord Jesus spoke with authority, and that all who heard him teach were pierced by his words, whether to contrition and healing, or to rage and ruin. So it seems likely that the families and friends of these four disciples and of the other eight apostles to come somehow understood that the men they loved were called by God to some life-changing purpose which demanded that they leave everything to follow Jesus. Then Matthew tells us that Jesus went throughout all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction among the people. And great crowds followed him from Galilee and the Decapolis and from Jerusalem and Judea and from beyond the Jordan. In other words, what began in Galilee did not stay in Galilee. And what was ignited in Capernaum was a fire of divine love that would in time sweep the world and invite the whole human race to hear and heed the word of God. Above all, in the divinely inspired scriptures of the Old and New Testaments, and in the sacraments of the New and Eternal Covenant, with both the Bible and the sacred mysteries transmitted by apostolic tradition, which guarantees their authenticity. This movement of the revealed word would come to be known as the church, meaning the assembly of all those called by Christ. And in these weeks before Lent, as we read from St. Paul's first letter to the Corinthians at the second lesson each Sunday, we will be reminded that from the very beginning, the Church of Christ has been a complete shambles, just as was Israel before us. But the Church is also already the spotless bride of Christ, a universal assembly of all those who are called and sent, like the 12, to show forth a new life of grace by faith, hope, and love, and to proclaim the gospel of the kingdom by the way we live and love, serve and pray, think and worship. And to fulfill that divine calling, we, like Peter, Andrew, James, and John, we must always place the Lord Jesus at the center of our entire lives, and with complete trust in Christ, respond immediately to all that he asks of us, no matter the cost. Friends, by our words and deeds, we are called to bear witness that the Lord Jesus is the eternal Word made flesh, the Son of David who was born in Bethlehem to fulfill the scriptures, but who also came from Galilee to establish a universal kingdom as foretold by Isaiah long ages before his birth. He is both the Son of Mary and the Son of God, our light and our salvation, the King of all creation, the Messiah and divine Redeemer of the world, and in him a great light has shone upon all those who dwell in darkness, for he alone is the Savior of the whole human race. The Lord Jesus Christ